Hi, welcome to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen Flegar. This podcast is meant to educate and empower about important health topics. Dr. Jen's passion is to get to the root cause of disease and prevent illness. She will also feature guests who are experts in their fields and experiences in all things related to integrative medicine.
Hello, welcome back to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen. So today is going to be a really cool episode. I have Parker Brooke here. He is a father of two, including a newborn, he told me, which makes my ovaries ache, and he's a founder of Love Bird Cereal. He has been on a health journey for the past 6 years and has tried every diet or protocol available to help manage his autoimmune diseases. After the birth of his daughter, he left his big food job to clean up junk food and fight childhood cancer. Parker's mission is to provide all children the chance to make the world a better place. Oh my gosh, welcome. Welcome, Parker.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of you and all the work you do. So this is very exciting to be on the podcast today.
Oh, well, awesome. Well, I mean, food is so important. And oh my goodness, you know, I found your cereal, I think on Instagram, and you know, I got to try some and it's amazing. And it's really hard to find clean cereal. So, I mean, how did you come up with this idea for this amazing cereal?
Yeah. And I think that's exactly how I came up with it. I think as a newly minted parent and a kid around the age of using kind of their pincher grips and looking at the different cereal options out there, I just was not impressed. And kind of my big food background, I used to work in cereal and I kind of knew how that category and those brands kind of operated and just didn't feel like anything was perfect enough for my child and for me as well. And so that was a major pain point for me. I mean, I would go down the aisles for the past 6 years and look at things that seemed healthy and then turn over the ingredients and just be like, why is all of this stuff in here? It does not have to be in this product. And so as the years went on and then I became a father, I think everything just clicked for me in terms of let me help innovate in this category cereal, which everything, even the healthy stuff, isn't great for you with refined grains and refined oils and the like, and obviously sugar, you know, 62 different ways. Let me create something that I would feel confident serving my daughter and serving myself and apply the principles of the autoimmune protocol and the paleo diet in terms of just stripping away all of the unnecessary things and the weird stuff that create inflammation and really just focus on real ingredients you can recognize that have some nutrient density and kind of serve a purpose and aren't there just to get you to overeat.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point because the chemicals and the natural flavors and all of that, they're trying to kind of trick your brain cells and your taste to kind of crave and want more, but it's not nutritious. So can I ask you like about your big food job? I'm very intrigued by this.
Yes, of course.
So what kind of stuff did you do?
I worked in marketing. And so, I think joining the company, I felt like I could be an agent of change within a larger organization and kind of steer them the right way. But I mean, you know, right or wrong, they're kind of burdened to these huge, massive brands that generate a lot of revenue and profit for the company. And, you know, believe it or not, a lot of people obviously eat that, but, you know, like it. If you change it, for example, for one of the brands, they removed all of the artificial colors and flavors. Mm-hmm. And it went from a very brightly colored cereal to kind of a fall, an autumn color, muted colors. And the performance of that specific cereal tanked. And so they actually wound up adding back all of the artificial colors and artificial flavors to meet that expectation. So I was kind of looked at that and I was like, wow, like they made a step in the right direction, but it still didn't help. And I realized it was just a much bigger problem of like, how could we get kids and adults, obviously too, but kids eating the right things from the beginning where they aren't having their taste buds hijacked by natural flavors or high potency sweeteners. And the bar isn't at such a level that going below it creates a gap and you just don't like the taste of things anymore. I remember I also worked in yogurt and we're in a product tasting. And I was like, why are we using natural flavors and these sweeteners? They're like, well, have you ever tried a strawberry? It doesn't really have a flavor. And I was like, what? Like, fresh strawberry is delicious. I had one, you know, this afternoon. And they're like, well, look at strawberry like Nesquik versus a strawberry. And it's these flavors actually have evolved in consumers' minds where strawberry isn't even a strawberry taste anymore. It's this artificial taste. And that's what kids know as strawberries. And I just found that kind of sad. And you even seen it in like fruit hybrids that are now, you know, crossbred to create a grape that tastes like a gumdrop. And it's like fruit is now tasting like candy where candy was supposed to taste like fruit. And so just a lot of those things where this engineering, this white coat laboratory engineering of different ingredients are just tricking your taste buds. And I knew there was a way that to make convenient food the right way and with simple ingredients. And I felt like nature is pretty sweet. Honey is pretty sweet. Maple is pretty sweet. Coconut sugar, unrefined sugar is pretty sweet. And it's just enough sweet to make it taste good, but not enough to kind of get you to overeat and kind of hijack your taste buds. So that's kind of a peek behind what that looks like, but happy to answer any specific questions you have as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love how you talked about hijacking their taste buds. And it's true. I don't know. So your kids are 2 and a newborn. So mine are a little bit older, but I remember with my kid who's 5 now, he was around the fruit snacks, like at a younger age, you know, like he got a hold of one. So then he like wanted that sweet. And same with my 18-month-old. Now my kids have gummy vitamins and we let him, he got a hold of one. Well, one of the other kids gave him one day. So he like loves that gummy, you know, from the gummy vitamins. And that's what, you know, he points to the drawer and wants it. So our bodies are meant to, they just crave sugar. They crave sweet. They love our bodies drawn to brightly colored things. Right. And this is part of our survival. It's because sugar wants instant energy, you know, brightly colored fruits and berries have high amount of phytonutrients. So this is just ingrained in our brain, but we're not supposed to eat it all the time, right? It wasn't available to us all the time. Fruit used to just be available during fruit season, you know, for caveman and stuff. Yeah. So, so we have to like step back and say, is my body really craving this or want this sugar? Or, you know, or does my body really need this? Or is it just like that instinctual craving? And especially you're going to have more cravings if you're more stressed and your body's looking for that instant fix. So with kids, yeah, if they start out, you know, with the high fructose corn syrup and then basically a bowl of cereal for breakfast is just, you know, all the oh my gosh, like when I see kids eating, you know, like Twix or what tricks or whatever, or yeah. Fruit Loops. And I'm like, this is, you're just feeding your kids, you know, chemicals and setting them up for failure at school. Right. And then they're going to be hungry right away and they'll need a snack right away. So, breakfast, especially, I think that it's very disappointing that, you know, there's so much marketing towards the colorful and the Pop-Tarts and the toaster strudels and all of that stuff. And yeah, I mean, like you said, your company tried to do a different product and they kind of failed a little bit. So I think it's very amazing that you are stepping out to be different, to make changes. Because the other thing that, you know, listeners have to realize is that you're not going to see them develop an autoimmune disease when they're little, right? You're setting them up for an autoimmune disease when they're in high school or college or in their 30s. You know, it's the things you do now for your kids. And that's why it's so important that it's going to, you know, give them good habits. It's going to set up their microbiome or break it down. It's going to start up inflammation. So yeah, I mean, I'm very passionate about this. It's very, you know, interesting. And the one thing I noticed is that you source organic ingredients. So how much of a challenge has that been for you, stepping into this kind of realm, you know, sourcing those organic ingredients, and making it so the cost is still affordable?
Definitely. And just to add to what you were saying about kind of chronic disease, I mean, there was a stat I discovered or heard of. I think it was on a Dr. Mark Hyman episode. He had a guest on, what the stat was, like 1 in 2 children by the time they're 16 will have developed a chronic disease. And like,
yeah,
like the first time ever, it's the first time ever that, you know, kids are being affected at that sort of rate. And it's a lot to do with diet. And as you mentioned, you're spot on. It's not so much like one bad day is going to hurt you or one good day is going to help you. It's those behaviors over time and compounded that ultimately result in things going a little bit haywire with your biology. So, I mean, I think that's spot on. And I think that's sort of been my mantra in terms of my own health journey is like, you know, give yourself grace. Like, it's hard to be human and surrounded by all of these things. And my goal is to create convenient options that aren't kind of a step backwards, but something to help you stay on track with your health journey. In terms of the organic ingredients, it's an interesting question. And I think really it boiled down to like kind of the cost at one level and then also the benefits of organic. And I think I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and you know, especially with my big food experience, they sort of reserved organic to have jumped the shark, right? Like organic was no longer growing, you know, the Cascadian Farms, the different brands that were really booming kind of in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s have kind of become stagnant. And I think that's just because people, like organic was everywhere in the grocery store, and you had organic Oreos or organic this and that. And the meaning of that has really been diluted. But if you actually look at the reasons or the benefits of organic, you know, they're quite important in terms of what your food does not have, what pesticides it does not have, what synthetic pesticides it does not have. And so in the beginning, it was sort of like, all right, it's going to be more expensive, but this is something I believe in. And if you're going to buy something healthy, I want to make sure that it's actually healthy and has the highest quality ingredients possible. And I think Lovebird, you know, as a cereal and eventually other items as well, like what it stands for is almost as important as what it has versus what it does not have in terms of, you know, high inflammatory ingredients, questionable, you know, weird stuff, and pesticides and all of the glyphosate and all of these different chemicals that really have not been in our biology as humans, as you're talking about, you know, the lifespan of humanity or the human species. And all of these have been introduced relatively recently, and like, we're just not wired to consume these types of things, and they cascade into health issues. So, I mean, sourcing was difficult, just making sure they come from a credible source and that they're truly organic and they follow these protocols and certifications and so on and so forth. But the decision to do it was relatively easy. I was just like, if I'm going to make, you know, the cleanest cereal possible, it almost has to be organic for me to feel good about it.
That's great. That's very important. And for listeners, so organic, especially with cereals, because cereals like with oats and wheat and all of that, I mean, there was that big, you know, scandal where they tested Cheerios and there was tons of glyphosate in there. And glyphosate is very important. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, I like being gluten-free, our family, and, you know, we do non-GMO and organic and almost everything. Except gluten-free bread's very hard for our family. I still need to make my own. That's on my to-do list. But glyphosate's scary. It's a weird, weird pesticide. And it kills our gut bacteria, and almost some people think like poke holes in our, you know, in our healthy gut microbiome. It's disastrous. And the sad thing about it is even if you try to avoid it, you know, I'll test patients, you can do a urine test to test glyphosate levels, and everyone has it in them basically, because it's in the rain, it's in the rainwater.
It's everywhere.
Yes. And yeah, you know, my kids are, you know, eating snow this winter and I'm like, oh, yep, have some glyphosate snow. So
remember, it used to be yellow snow and now it's just like even the white stuff you can't eat.
Right. Gosh, I mean, I'd almost rather have them eat dirt than eat the snow. It's crazy. But this is where you can relax a little bit if you, you know, try to just buy smarter, buy things that are glyphosate free, that are organic. So organic products are going to be non-GMO and not have as much glyphosate on them, right? That's the hope. So I think, you know, if you're listening out there and you're freaking out, just know that you can do things to kind of reverse, you know, the glyphosate, you know, binders, or, you know, making sure you have probiotics, making sure you're supporting your gut health in other ways. But yeah, that's a, with cereals, oh my goodness.
It's a big issue. I mean, yeah. Look at the, you know, I would say about 95% of cereals are either made with corn, wheat, or oats, probably more than that. And so that's why it was important to keep that in mind with glyphosate. And my product is third-party tested, and it's non-detect. It's free of that. And so that was something important in terms of feeling confident and giving that to my daughter. Because as you said, it's one of those things that's in the soil. We can't avoid it 100%, but we can help kind of manage that toxic load. And right. Making sure you're not consuming it knowingly and kind of keeping those levels low, because it's kind of like a cup, right? Once you start filling it up, eventually it's going to spill over, and that's when you have issues. So just trying to make sure that cup does not spill over.
Absolutely. Now, I also noticed that you made sure your cereal was paleo and AIP elimination stage compliant. Now, this must be part of your journey. So could you talk about a little bit about your autoimmune diseases, if you don't mind, and
definitely.
Your journey?
Yeah, and it's I think similar to a lot of people, you sort of kind of always knew something was wrong, but you were like, oh, I'm just tired, or it's just a bad day. And I remember at the worst, right, I would just like lay in bed and just like had zero energy and couldn't get out of bed. And you'd go to a doctor and they tell you like, everything's fine. Like, you know, try to get some sleep, or right. You know, at worst, here's a medication or something, which I'm not keen on doing that. And so I was seeking ways to manage it through medicine, and eventually discovered that, you know, much more skin oriented autoimmune diseases like psoriasis, which has now manifested in the psoriatic arthritis and eczema and a couple other smaller ones. But it's just like achy body, brain fog, zero energy. And that's when I really started to experiment with food as medicine. You know, five or six years ago, it was kind of starting with gluten-free, made a big difference, and slowly getting deeper and deeper until I kind of discovered the paleo diet. And then kind of an offshoot of that has been the autoimmune protocol, which really removes all potential inflammatory things. And it is an elimination diet, right? It's not, you know, for some people, that's the way it becomes more lifestyle. But for a lot of people, it's to identify root causes and figure out what works for your body, right? Everybody right. is different, has a different body composition and needs and wants in that regard. But for me, it worked wonders in terms of identifying certain triggers that would cause me to spin, right? And obviously, that for me personally, I'm not saying that for everybody it's the same, but for me personally, it was gluten and dairy and refined sugars. And really the combination of like gluten and a refined sugar, which is like not, it was like a sleeping pill. It was crazy. Like I would eat wow. that and I would just have to like take a nap immediately after. And so through that process, it kind of occurred to me that why could I not apply the paleo and AIP elimination stage compliant guidelines to packaged food to clean it up, to essentially use one of the cleaner diets out there or protocols out there and apply it to packaged food. It's like, if I'm going to eat packaged food, like I want it to be the cleanest possible, right? I'm not going to, you know, if I'm eating real whole fresh food, maybe I'm going to have something that might be a trigger, but the fact that it's real and whole is less of an issue. But when it's in packaged food and it's highly concentrated and it's combined with all these different ingredients that you would never find in nature, that's when it was an issue for me. And so it was applying that to cereal and eventually other products just to clean it up and make sure that everybody could safely enjoy it and not have any sort of triggers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing your journey. How are you doing now with everything?
I would say I'm in a pretty good spot. I mean, with a newborn at home, it's hard. As you mentioned earlier, right? Just the stress and lack of sleep kind of puts you in spots where you know, making the bad decision seems like the right thing to do at the time. And I'm human. I slip up from time to time and ultimately pay the price for it in terms of just how my body feels and, you know, aches and pains and just, you know, my joints just swell up a little bit. But I feel like the food part and the food as medicine was kind of the first step in the process. And I've been trying to do a better job holistically around kind of sleep and stress and environment and just household cleaning supplies and just making sure that not just my diet is clean, but, you know, multiple facets of my life are clean just because they all interplay with each other. And so I think at a high level, like, it's never been better. I think with a newborn, it's lack of sleep kind of comes with the territory. So I'm kind of powering through that. But aside from that, I feel like I'm in a really great spot.
That's great. That's such a good story. And our listeners should really, you know, take it to heart that diet is so important. And I'm sure it was not easy and it still isn't easy, right? I mean, it's diet's big. And I love what you said about if you're going to have a packaged food, you wanted something that was more compliant and more clean. And that's actually been a huge challenge. Like for my household, I'm really trying to get rid of the toxic oils in our house. And there's just a few products that we still have, but I just will try not to bring it, you know, in the house at all. Cause I'm trying to work on that level of inflammation. And that's something that's nice too, that you have to look for in cereals, make sure there isn't sunflower oil or canola oil or soy oil. And those lurk a lot in the cereals, unfortunately. So, when you're looking at your diet, yeah, gluten and dairy are huge inflammatory. So a lot of people really feel a lot better. And that was how it was for me. When I took out gluten out of my diet, it was like a game changer. My whole like body changed, you know? And it's crazy because when you take something out and you take it out for 6 to 8 weeks, which is the recommendation if you're doing kind of an elimination of food products, and then you put it back in to see how you feel, it's like you are like, wow, I never knew that I felt that bad before, right? It's kind of like a weird sensation. I'm sure like you've felt that, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think, you know, starting, you know, way back when, and then doing more of these elimination diets, it's sort of mind opening the effect that it can have on you, but you're sort of in this unaware way, like in this zombie like state. But as soon as you remove some things, you're like, oh my God, like I have energy. Right. You know, I go do things and I can think more clearly. And as soon as you add it back in, you're like stopped in your tracks. And I think that kind of immediate cause and effect was helpful for me, because a lot of these things, they take days and weeks and months to kind of see the result of. But once you get back to that reintroduction phase, you can really tell immediately like what agrees with you and what doesn't. And everybody's different, right? Like, you know, I have friends that have followed similar diets or people I know of, and you know, they can tolerate corn or they can tolerate whatever, and that's great for them. But for most people, you know, struggling with inflammation, it's just not that way. And corn in general is not a great thing unless it's non-GMO and organic. That's a whole side tangent, but totally, I totally get what you're saying.
Oh, right. And corn could be moldy, so it can have mycotoxins in it. Disaster, right? Yeah. And yeah, like I know personally, I feel better when I don't eat corn or corn products. Like maybe I could have fresh corn, but you know, corn products or popcorn, you know, I can just feel the inflammation. And part of me though wonders, you know, the whole grain-free thing in general, how some people, especially like my Hashimoto's patients, you know, I say, okay, gluten and dairy free, let's do the inflammation. Then I'm like, we might have to do grain free too, you know, and I don't want to overwhelm people because it can be overwhelming, but part of me wonders, you know, with the whole grain free, is it the glyphosate in the corn, in the wheat, in the oats, you know, is it, maybe it's not even the gluten, you know, it's just interesting to see. And that's why I try to keep that down, you know, the pesticides with my family, because they're very disruptive.
Yeah. And they just add up. They wind up in a lot of things. It's sort of like what the common understanding, or at least people that are more tuned into their health, is like, you know, sugars and everything. And it is, and it shouldn't be in everything. Like, it's in everything from ketchup to salad dressing. It's like, why? It's in there to get more of it, right? And I think overeating in general, you know, packaged food lends itself to that because it combines ingredients and concentrations that you would never find in nature. It's like, would you ever find like a, you know, a piece of corn that was like condensed, like five condensed into one and then rolled in sugar and then you ate it? Like, no, like corn on the cob, like if it's grown the right way and you can tolerate it, like great. But if it has all these other things and it's highly concentrated and hidden pesticides, like there's a lot at play that conflicts with your biology that you're just not used to consuming those foods that are tightly bound together in combinations that are foreign to your body, you know, over the course of, you know, how long we've been evolving with food and the fact that, you know, processed food and industrial agriculture has been a relatively new thing for our bodies to adapt to. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. There's just a lot we don't know. And there's nobody, you know, being on the other side of the firewall, there's nobody studying that. Like what big food company wants to, you know, pay for the study that tells them that pesticides consumed in this quantity is a danger to your health, and therefore all the products they sell are no longer safe for you, right?
Right.
I think there's plenty of, like, you know, in back doors and back rooms around, you know, studies that were canceled because the results weren't favorable, or it's just a question that people don't want to know the answer to.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, you know, especially when it comes to the, you know, you have that guilt if you're feeding your kids, you know, bad food. It's funny. My 5-year-old, he's really into like asking if like things are healthy that he's eating. And today,
a 5-year-old asking questions, never heard about it.
Right. Right. I know. And he's like, is ketchup? He's like, no, first he was like smart about it. He's like, are tomatoes? He's like, mom, are tomatoes healthy? And I'm like, yeah, they are. And then I'm like, unless you have like a nightshade sensitivity. But, and he's like, okay. He's like, so ketchup's healthy. And I'm like, ketchup has too much added sugar in it. You know, they add too much sugar to it. And yeah, you know, we get organic ketchup, but it's still organic processed sugar. I've tried some other kinds. I'll keep trying, but my dad is always, he gets very irritated because of all the ketchup my kids, you know, consume. Yeah. And we're trying, you know, I mean, it's a struggle, but that's something that I feel guilty about, how much ketchup they consume, because it does have added sugar. And even though it's not high fructose corn, you know, high fructose corn syrup, ketchup, it's still sugar. So I think, you know, for the parents listening out there, just being more mindful, you know, about these things. And if you're going to buy packaged food, yes, buy the better alternative, but it's still, you know, it still doesn't mean it's perfect. You can overeat healthy food, you know, especially packaged food.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, my oldest is 2, right? And I'm just beginning into the negotiation of what food she wants to eat. And, you know, one of her first words or food words were like mac and cheese. And it's like, I don't know how to kind of combat that, because even the mac and cheese items out there, you know, like you said, similar to ketchup, like it could be organic, but it still has all of these questionable things in it. And so, you know, I would love to, any parenting advice you could give me in terms of picking your battles, but it's challenging, right? And I think with Lovebird, I hope to kind of grow and create more things that make that a little less, like lessen that feeling of guilt for parents, because parenting alone is hard enough in terms of transitioning and raising kids the right way. And like, food is just one layer to think about and a whole host of other things you're worried about. And so I feel and empathize with parents out there. I salute you. You're doing a great job. Pat yourself on the back and we'll figure it out together.
Right. Absolutely. And well, one of my tips is, you know, healthy alternatives to the snacks, mm-hmm. because the kids are going to see other kids having the snacks, right? And you don't want them to feel abnormal, right? So, you know, instead of like Cheerios, my kid would get, you know, some, you know, organic O's from Aldi for a while. And now like we have the option of the cassava flour, you know, from Lovebird. So that's even better. So I think that's a good hint, is just like, so they can feel normal. So, you know, go get ice cream, but we do almond milk ice cream, you know, so it's a little less inflammation, even though it's still sugar. So we try to like swap things out, you know, dye-free gummies, that kind of stuff. And I think like leading by example. So, you know, bring healthier alternatives to the baseball game. You know, we did like coconut water juice boxes, awesome. With less sugar. Yeah. So, it's still hard. Like, do I let my, if they bring Gatorade for, you know, the drink for baseball, you know, I'll let my kid drink it, but he usually doesn't drink it all because he doesn't really like how it tastes. But, you know, my kids like love candy and sugar. But I talk to them and I'm like, if you guys really want candy, because we found out my son was like buying candy, like at his baseball practice. And so I went to him and he's like, yeah, I did it one time. And I'm like, okay, so if you want some candy sometime, you know, I have like healthier candy. I know that's an oxymoron, but I'm like, I have better alternative candy, you know, in the basement, and I would give you some, you know? So I think it's just really hard because, you know, we just do things differently at our house. We're not perfect by any means, but we have a wide range of ages of kids. So we try the best we can. So I wish I could tell you it gets easier, but, I actually think the newborn, except for the sleep, the newborn to like age like 3, I think is the easiest parenting stage, which is crazy. But
it starts as kind of like a physical warfare and then morphs into psychological warfare as they
right. Yes. I love that. I love that. Okay. So what other products are you going to come out with? Like while you were talking, I was like envisioning like some sort of like toaster paste, like almost like a knockoff Pop-Tart. I don't know. I was envisioning a lot of fun things. Ooh, a granola bars that don't have sunflower oil would be amazing. Okay. Tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I like Lovebird is literally me and my daughter at the moment. So like all of our focus and attention is on cereal and trying to just still an early stage company, just trying to get it to a level where we can support another product. But you know, we're thinking of similar things that you mentioned. And if anybody has any recommendations, just reach out to me on Instagram or my email is just parker@lovebirdfoods.com. I would love to hear your thoughts on it and just see if we can't create something together because I just don't have the bandwidth to kind of fully pursue that right now, but I would love to. I mean, the eventual goal is like have Lovebird and every part of the grocery store and kind of force all of the competition to put their ingredients on the front because ingredients are kind of the birth certificate for the product. There's no forgery there. There's some trickery you can do with labeling and things like that. But with a little education for most shoppers out there, you can kind of sniff that out a little easily or more easily. So I hope to see Lovebird all over the grocery store because I really feel like packaged food and the challenge of parenting kind of creates this tension in our health. And I think, you know, with recent events, it's kind of just illustrated how important health is and healthy immune systems. And I think just kind of teaching those behaviors at an early age. And, you know, I'm not in that psychological warfare parenting stage yet, but just making sure they kind of know, right? I mean, kids are smart. I mean, they may not have the vernacular or the verbiage to kind of articulate everything. But, you know, my daughter Yuki is like whip sharp. Like she knows everything. If I tell her something, she'll like hold me to it and point at it. And just making sure that I think what you said has been key and has been a real eye opener is just modeling the behavior. And I think I used to think about that as in terms of like positive characteristics and like always being on time and just making sure they feel loved every day. But also just the things you eat. Like I 100% guilty of like having a snack attack after dinner or after lunch. And just like, you know, my wife will walk by and I'll be like half in the pantry, half out. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm eating like healthier things, you know, but it's still not a great behavior. And just trying to make sure like my daughter doesn't see that because she started to snack like that now. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm seeing kind of the payoff or the cause and effect of that. So I know that was a little bit of a tangent, but hopefully a lot more items to come and would love to get people's feedback on where they want to see Lovebird next.
Yeah, well, super exciting. So I personally, so we tried the honey and the cinnamon so far, and they were both so good, like such a good treat. The honey was just like, it was so good. Loved it. So where can people get your cereal right now?
Yeah, right now it's available exclusively on my website. The reason for that is just as a small business, it's just the most practical thing for me to do. I think, you know, at some point I hope to get into retail, but if you would like to see it at your local co-op or your local grocery store, let me know, send me an email, send them an email. I'm happy to make that happen for you all as well. As I said, this has kind of been a one person and a 2-year-old operation. With a 2-year-old toddler operation. And so would love for people to kind of ask their neighborhood grocer or their neighborhood co-op to carry Lovebird. And I'd love to have it fly their way and have it be more available in other places than just my website.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I know a grocery store locally around here that would probably carry it. I should ask them. It's like a little local owned, but yeah, I mean, supporting people with your mission that, you know the importance of health, that are passionate, is so important. And we vote with our money. We vote with how we spend, you know, our dollars. And, you know, for us to really change food and agriculture in the United States, which is a disaster right now, we need to start spending our money, you know, the right way with the right products, you know, to really make a difference and make a change. And not just a change for your immediate family, but if we make a big enough change where those big companies notice, they're going to have to start changing their food too. And then that would reach the places that maybe really need the help, you know, that can't afford to spend a couple extra dollars on cereal. So I think we really just have to keep on it, keep demanding better quality food out there.
I think that, I mean, one, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know a little bit more about yourself and just talking about things I care about. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think everybody feels so small with all of these big problems and these systemic agricultural commodity and subsidization problems within our food chain. But we all individually hold the best power possible, and that's our dollar, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's investments you can make in your health, you know, buying new gym equipment or doing this or doing that. But the dollars you spend on your health will pay dividends in the long term, right? I look at it as almost like a 401k. Like, yeah, if I make investments now, when I'm 60, 70, 80, I'm going to reap the benefit of that. And I'll have lower probabilities of different age-related diseases or genetic diseases and things of that nature. But everybody has the power. And I think it's, for me, when I kind of that clicked in my head, I was like, oh my God, like we can change this thing. Like you've seen it happen with high fructose corn syrup and a lot of products. You've seen it happen with a lot of the bad artificial dyes and colorings and flavorings. Like big food ultimately chases what people want. And if we can vote with our dollars, like we can create that sea change and see better products on the shelf. It just takes a little bit of time, and it takes a lot of people voting every day with their dollars. And I think that's a super powerful feeling to have, that you can make a difference by just buying something different. And eventually it gets big enough that you see that change, and we can all look in the grocery store and be like, we were a part of that. Like we helped reverse all of this horrible food that we find in the center of the grocery store, and we did it together.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that. It gave me chills. Like we can do it. We have to make some kind of change, right? We're all just,
yeah. No, the status quo is not working.
Yes. Right. Well, I will leave all the website information and your Instagram handle in the show notes for our listeners. And thank you once again for coming on. And it's been a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much. And look forward to maintaining the relationship and changing food together.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you, Parker.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is created and hosted by Jen Flegar and is for informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. This podcast disclaims responsibility for adverse effects from use of information contained in this podcast. This podcast does not promote opinions of their guests as their own and does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests of the show or endorse any qualifications for the guests of this podcast. Guests may have financial disclosures. If you think you have a medical problem, consult your personal physician or team. Thank you for joining.